Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We're continuing the Rambam Hilchos Gezeila Aveda Perek Gimel Hayilocha Yud Beis, page 258 and 259. We began the discussion of a shomer, a guardian, who misappropriates a pikadon, an object that was entrusted to him. We discussed the idea that if you send your hand and you take it and you move it around, even though you have not yet destroyed it or used it or whatever, but your intention was to do that. So at that point, even if nothing happens, even though you haven't really used it yet, right, you now are considered liable for it, and you're obliged to pay for the entire object that you have moved around.
So they consider it kone? You've kone?
He was kone as a goslin, and it's his problem now, right? And even though you just moved it from one place or another, if you only said you were going to do it, that doesn't mean anything. But if you said, I intend on using this object, of damaging this object, like eating part of it or whatever, making use of it, that is considered shlichas yad, and you're chayef for it. Now, let's talk about actually what you did, and that's halacha yud beis. Higbia es achavis litol mimenu revis, nischayev ansa af al pi shelo nata. Let's say you picked up the jug of a jug of wine.
Could it be a barrel of chavis or just a jug?
It could be a jug or a barrel, either way. Okay, and you wanted to take a revis. All you wanted was to take a revis. So what's the halacha? Nischayev bansa. You're chayev for the entire jug. Whatever happens to the entire thing, afal pi shenlo natal, even though you didn't take anything yet. Okay. Now, what's the explanation? That even though the watchman only wants a little bit of the amount, but is liable for the entire jug, because when the jug is full, the wine, you know, you haven't opened up the jug yet, it's like a bottle of wine, right? And it's totally preserved. But once you take a little bit,
break the seal,
then that's it. So, so it comes out, the entire jug is involved in what is being taken out over here and used. And even though he only planned on using a little bit, a person would rather have, you know, the rest of the jug of the wine, the entire jug is being used for this revis that you're taking out, right? And as long as nothing's open, the whole thing is protected properly. Once that revis is out, you're making use of the entire jug. And therefore you're chayev for that, even though you only planned on taking revis. But another case is a very questionable case. I mean, BS, a key, legal man at dinner. Let's say you take a wallet. The owner tells you to watch a wallet. It's $100. And you took the wallet with the intention of taking $1. That's all. A dinar. Or similarly, in a wallet where there are more than one object there. Where $1 isn't watching, the other $99 aren't watching the other dollar any better. So now that case in the Talmud is a suffix. When you take the entire keys, the entire wallet, it's a doubt as to whether you're chayef and obliged to be responsible for that entire wallet. Is it like wine? Because we could say maybe a full wallet watches better, and it's not as likely to get lost as one dinar, and therefore it's all functioning together. Or maybe it's only chayef for the one dinar, because a dinar by itself can be watched just as well as 100 dinars, and it's not at all similar to wine. And therefore, when we're not sure, we wouldn't have to pay if something happened to it, but if the guy would grab, then he would take. That's the Rambam's opinion in that case of doubts. Okay, moving on to the next halacha, Yud Gimel. So we have a case that it's clearly where part is when you're taking part, it's like the whole thing. You have a shaila case, a doubtful case, and we have a different kind of case, Yud Gimel. Hayaperus mufkadim etzlo. Let's say the guy has him watch fruits. Venatal miktasim, and he actually takes some of the fruits, let's say, out of a basket or whatever. Ain achayev ela bachroyas apershnatal. You're only responsible for the fruits that you take and not the other ones. Because that's clearly one has nothing to do with the other. Ushara pikadim amunuch mekoma, and the rest of the object that he wants him to watch, the rest of the produce, it's considered still in the ownership of the original owner, and you haven't been sholeach yad, your hand, against that at all. However, let's say it's the kind of scenario. However, what if by taking out some of the fruits, it causes a spoilage to the rest, then, and it gets spoiled, then you have to pay for everything, And here you're going to be liable not as a robber, but as a mazik. Because that's a different situation. You've damaged the other produce. You know, if a shomer just smashes something and breaks it, he's not a goslin. He's a mazik. He's the damager. So the same thing here. By taking out some fruits, you might be a goslin on the fruits you took, but you're a mazik on the rest of the fruits, and you're chayef to pay back as a mazik on the rest, and not as goslin. And whatever difference halachas a mazik has over goslin, that would be applicable there.
So if the fruit, let's say, has to be tightly packed, and you take a couple
it's a freeze, what do you call it, a frozen, what do you call it, the way they pack it airtight.
Yeah. Well,
Vacuum packed. And now you went and took a few out, and the vacuum now is released, so to speak. So now it
can... That would be more like the case of the wine.
Alright, whatever. However it would work. Okay. Contrive a case where moving fruits out would hurt the rest. That would make him chayv. Not exactly like the wine, because the wine it's one mixed up area. I don't know if in a vacuum pack it would be like the wine. Because a revise of wine, it's all one thing. Vacuum packed, it's still separate items within it. Okay, we could clear. So they ask, okay, so let's have an example. So let's say hitas achavis, he just tilts a barrel or a jug. He didn't pick it up. He wasn't coin it. He didn't move it around. He just tilted it. He takes a revius or more than a revius. That's all he took, but I didn't pick up the jug. I wasn't coining the jug. So now the jug is back in its place with the majority of the wine there. If that jug breaks by accident, whatever, it's in its place, for what you took. Why? I didn't pick up the barrel, and the rest I didn't touch. But what if the rest of that barrel gets vinegary because you took out a little bit? Then you're going to pay everything as it was worth at the time of the stealing, because we assume that the taking of the revis causes air to enter it, and that causes the wine to sour, and you become a mazik on that, which is not the case by the barrel in halacha yud beis.
Because
when I took the entire barrel, I'm taking the whole barrel to take the revis, and the whole barrel is part of support for that revis, and I'm a goslin on the rest of that stuff. All right, there's a fine difference over here.
One cone and one didn't cone.
Didn't he just tilt it because maybe it was too heavy?
Doesn't matter. What the logistics are. Tilting is not an act that will make you be coined. Finish. It's just you took what you had to take. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Yudal. Now, Yudal is an interesting halacha. When a person is watching a pikadon, is watching an object, then when the owner asks for it, you're supposed to give it back. What if the guy denies it? Then, you know, there's issues here. That's called kofer pikadon. A person denies taking an object. So let's see what the ramifications of this are. Hakofer pikadon bebezim. Let's say the guy demands the object, and the guy is kofer. He denies. He says, you never gave it to me. Right? Whatever the situation is. He denies, saying that he has to give it back. Now, let's say we have not yet got to the stage. Now, normally, if the guy's, or let's say he says it got stolen. Let's say he's the shomer. He's a shomer chinam that's putter if he gets stolen. So, he says, can I have the thing back? It got stolen. I don't have to give it back to you. He's causing a denial. So now, generally speaking, he has to make an oath in Bezdin. He has to make an oath in Bezdin. So let's say like this. Let's say the guy denies that he has it. He's not yet at the stage of making an oath in Bezdin, which would free him totally of responsibility, but he is denying it. Okay? Now, let's say witnesses come later and say, I don't know why he was denying it. It was sitting right in his property.
It was signed in his possession.
It's right in his property. Right? So now, if it was in his property when he denied having it, that is a brazen chutzpah to say that something is not your property when you have it in your hands. That act of lying, even though you haven't actually done anything to the object, it's sitting there the same way as when the guy gave it to you a month ago. Nase olav gazlan, you become a gazlan to that action. V'chayiv ba'ons yichayiv for any damages that happen beyond your control. That act of lying is an act of gzeil of stealing. Now, that is all if he makes a denial in court. However, the force you explain, what if the guy before he takes him to court says, do you have my object? He says, no, I don't have it. He's not considered a robber at that point. If you're not going to Bezdin, why? Because it's very likely, it's not an unusual thing, that let's say the guy temporarily misplaced it, he's trying to buy time. The Gemara does use such a svara, he's trying to get him off his back. So right now he says, it's not in my house. Finished. But until we go to court, we don't take those statements very seriously, and that would not be considered a brazen act of stealing from the owner. Now it comes out though, but if he denies it in court, even though he didn't actually do anything, it's a big chiddush, because normally you have to take it, you have to make a certain kind of kinyan with it. But the denial in a court will be tantamount to that type of a chutzpah, kinyan and that would make you responsible as a goslin.
We took this similar before when somebody did brazen acts previously with laws of damages, or I think laws of thievery.
Yep.
If you did something brazenly, that's a goslin.
Right, but here you haven't done anything
because
to it.
It was in regard to 4 or 5, paying 4 or 5.
Yeah, but there he at least sells it, he at least shechs it, he's doing something.
Right.
Here he's not doing anything to the object, so that's a chiddush.
Right.
Although he's not touching the object at all, that is still considered an act of gzela. Okay, and it's all if the witnesses testify, tell us the object was in his house at the time when he made the oath. However, let's say there's no witnesses that the object was in his possession when he made the oath, but the object is later in his house, but not at the time.
Okay.
Then we can't say it's a goslin because we assume that maybe it was somewhere else, and maybe it was misplaced. He's trying to buy off time. So we can't assume it's a brazen act even when you're swearing in a court.
Right.
Only when we have the two combinations together, where the witnesses know for a fact it was there when you swore, then there's only one excuse for why you did that. You're a goslin. That's it. And that makes you a goslin. So the Rambam La'am kind of summarizes these last few halachas over here in a nice little package. He says, again, so the chiddush here is, even though you didn't touch it, didn't move it, it's considered gzela. So it comes out, the beginning of the perek, we were talking about actual goslin. An actual goslin where the guy takes. That was the beginning of the perek, and everything we've been learning until this point. The guy just goes and takes it. He takes the jug, and that's it. That's overt being a goslin. That's we started off. From Aloha Yudal to Yudal, we were talking about a shomer, a guardian, who was shaleach yad to the bikaron, which we considered him a goslin with the condition they at least picked it up for the intention of being shaleach yad. Here we're going to the third level where you're just denying it. We have a status of goslin even though you didn't move it. That's how far you can be a goslin even without touching it. Now I move on to a different topic that's related, not totally unrelated, but the famous rule in Aloha Tesvav. Hashoyel shalom midas ha-be'olim ha-rei zeh goslin. If a person borrows an object without asking the owner permission, he is considered a goslin. Now, we've already talked about where a guy is taking an object and things happen with it. But here we're defining him clearly as a goslin. And therefore, let's say the guy borrows a tape recorder. And he just takes the tape recorder and he brings it in. He wasn't planning on stealing it. He was going to give it back and just borrowing it for a little while. And then the tape recorder gets lost or gets stolen or destroyed or whatever. Forces beyond your control. The person who didn't want to even diminish the value. He just wanted to use it. Nevertheless, when you take without permission, you are a goslin. Okay? Now that's the simple case that the Rambam says, but certainly would apply to a watchman who wants to make use of the object, and even without causing any diminishment in value. The halachas we were talking about before, yesterday and today, we're talking where you plan to take some wine and drink it. You want it to diminish the value. But now we say these laws of shomer, shomidas, is if you're a guardian as well, and you just plan on using it, and then to put it right back in its place, you would also be considered a shol shomidas bomb.
Didn't we just take, though, last week, that let's say you take somebody's cow or his horse, and you ride it, and then you bring it back, and the object hasn't changed at all, that's not considered...
We didn't say that's not, we didn't say it's not considered gzela.
Oh, there's no penalty.
There's no penalty.
Okay.
You are a goslin. Where had that case? We had Chavis. Where do we have this?
Previous paragraph.
Yeah, we had it. You stole the cow.
Yeah, you stole the cow.
Right, but what we said over there was just,
You
don't have to pay anything. You don't have to pay anything.
But you're still a goslin.
You got it back. Here, where was this? We had it over here, right? You borrowed the cow, right? And you gave it right back, right? So you don't have to pay anything, because you didn't diminish the value, but what if something happened to it?
Right. Then we talked about
it. What got damaged?
Then we talked about it.
So you are clearly a Goslin. So there's no question about you not being a Goslin. You are a Goslin, and you have to pay.
So regardless of whether something's damaged or not, you're a Goslin. But the only question is if something happens to it, you have to pay. If nothing happens to it, you have to pay, but you're still a Goslin.
That's right.
Okay.
So, for example, Hoya Klebi, or to continue, Hoya Klebi ad Vinosha Balabaisa biad Avdo. Let's say this utensil that you borrow without permission is in the hands of the son of the owner, or the hands of the servant of the owner. Ulakacha Echemem, and somebody took it from them. Vinishtamesh Bohem, and made use of it. Very important added clause there. Hareze Shol Shlomidas. That's considered borrowing without the knowledge of the owner. And the Chiddush that the halacha is saying, for example, an ordinary borrower. Let's say, forget about stealing. Let's say I go to you, Martin, and say, I want to borrow from you. That's all. I want to borrow the tape recorder from you. And you give it to me, fine. You can have it for a week, and you let me use it for a week, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when do I become responsible if any accidents happen to it? From the moment I pick it up, because I'm borrowing it, I get to use it, and then I'm obligated.
When you steal it,
here, when you're a shol shalom midas, when you're taking without intention, that's the Rambam adds the words v'nishtamesh bo. You have to use it. So if I, without permission, God forbid, took Martin's tape recorder without asking him, and I put it in my shtender, and I haven't used it yet, I haven't made any use of it yet. And then something would happen, you'll be putter. Because the Rambam's saying, v'nishtamesh b'hem, you have to make use of it without the owner's consent.
Or if you came to me and said, I want to borrow it, and even though you haven't used it yet, it's already automatically.
That's the difference. Once I borrowed and you gave me permission, then it's out of my reshus. But here, where I didn't have permission, so there's got to be something to take it out of the reshus, and it's not taking enough is enough, because I wasn't planning on stealing it. If I take it with planning on stealing it, then the minute that's my desire comes out, so I've stolen it, so now I'm a goner right away, I'm a chayv if anything happens immediately. If I take the tape recorder from you and say, and I'm taking it to steal it, then that moment I took it out of your place, I'm koine. And no matter what, I'm chayv no matter if I used it or not. But here the fact that I'm just borrowing it, so I am a shoel, but it's not without the knowledge of the owner. So you can't be a shol to be chayiv until I actually used it. That's a chiddush in the Rambam. You would think you should be chayiv earlier, but he hasn't really used it yet. So there's missing some kind of a kinyan. See, when I borrow with your permission gives me the kinyan. When I take something without your permission, what have I done to make a kinyan? Because I don't plan on owning it. Remember, kinyan means I've acquired it. If I don't plan on stealing it, how could I have acquired it? So the only way I acquire it is by using it. Once I use it, that's an acquisition. At least it's an acquisition of being a shoel of a borrower. But when I'm a ganef, ganef means I want to keep it. So as soon as I pick it up and take it out, then I'm a ganef right away. So that becomes the difference. And you're chayiv, and he's chayiv, and asav, and you're chayiv for any accidents, ad shechzer levelim, until you return it to the owners. Levicha, therefore, im hechziru lakot nashebet 11. Let's say you took it from the child without the owner's knowledge. You know, a child doesn't know any better. You say, oh, little boy, can I take this? Sure, why not? Kid doesn't know. Father doesn't know. It's just like you took it without permission.
So, you're giving so it
back now,
to the
let's
kid.
Say he gives it back to the kid.
The owner's kid.
And he gives it back to the Evan after using it. Then the kid or the slave of Mehem and Ishbar, let's say gets lost and gets broken. So you might think I gave it back to the kid. That's the place I took it from. I gave it back to the slave. It's the place I took it from. I shouldn't be chayv anymore. No, chayv l'sham, you gotta pay, because that's not a considered halachic return to the owner itself. Interesting. Even though, as long as it was in the kid's hand, it was considered somewhere in the reshus of the owner. And you went and took it out, that considers that you took it out of the reshus of the owner. And now you're putting it back in this very same place you took it from. That won't help. It will be no different than if you give it back to an owner without the owner's knowledge. Remember, we already learned the halacha. If you steal something from an owner and give it back and don't tell him, maybe you put it right in his house.
Doesn't matter.
It's not going to make much difference because he doesn't know. Put it in his wallet. It won't help if he doesn't know, unless it's something that he'd normally be checking. So the same thing as kid or his slave. He doesn't know either, and it's not considered an appropriate returning of the object.
Well, it's really cutting down on the tshuva process, because if you have to mamish return it to him, oh, I took it, I didn't use your permission, and then that's real tshuva, where if you give it back to the kid, you may not have to say anything, because the kid won't understand, and you can get away scot-free or at a very low level.
But the owner won't know, and he'll lose out on that.
Right.
Okay, Tezayin, next page. Hakotev mashkon miadalova. We have a law that if I lend you things, then we do put certain things as collaterals. Now, generally what happens is, for you to take a collateral, that has to be done with the permission of a bezin. Let's say it's like this. You got to pay me back $100. You don't pay me back, then I'm entitled to take something until you're going to pay me back. Now, that is allowed, but it has to be done under the aegis of the bezin. You can't just go into the guy's house and knock on the door and take none of this mafia business over here. It's got to all be done through with bezin's permission. If you don't have permission of the bezin, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. And even in certain the bezin itself, you can't go into the guy's house. You stand outside the door and say, you know, you should bring the thing. Now you owe the guy the thing you promised. So let's say what happens is the guy wants his mashkin, he wants his collateral, and he doesn't wait for the bezin, wait for nobody. He just goes right in and takes it. So, tezayin. Hachotev mashkin miyadalova. Let's say the guy seizes a collateral from a debtor. Shalobish his bezin without the permission of the bezin. And the law is a person may not forcibly take collateral from a debtor. So therefore, harei zeh gazlin, that makes you a gazlin, af al pi shechayv, even though the guy really has to give it to you, because it was part of the deal. The deal is, if I don't pay, you could take my tape recorder. So the guy, you know, well, you gotta, the guy's gonna say, okay, I want my tape recorder. Well, we have to go to Bezdin first. No, I don't have time to wait for Bezdin. He goes and takes the tape recorder. Right, without permission. Let's extend the case now. And now he lost the tape recorder. So what's going to happen? He's going to owe it to the guy to pay him for the tape recorder. The first guy still owes him something, but that's how far this goes. It's a gazlan, even though he's chayved him. All the more so, we don't have to tell you the following case. That's only if the guy, let's say the guy had the tape recorder outside. Let's say he forcibly went into the house. If you went into the house of the friend, umishkino shugazin, you take the mashkin there, for sure you're a gazlin. Because even a court appointee isn't allowed to go into the house. Shinamarka Sora says, bachutz tamod, you will stand outside and wait for the guy to give it to you. Properly has to be done. An agent of the bezin comes with you. And then, it's just like, I think in the secular law, if you want to lock a guy out of an apartment, doesn't pay rent. It has to be done with the bailiff. It has to be done through the court of law, and they give permission. The bailiff comes, and the bailiff locks. You can't just lock people out like that. So the same thing over here. You have to wait for the shlich biz then to do this. Okay, Perek Revi. Well, just a little bit of a beginning into the fourth Perek. And here we're going to talk about a takona that the rabbis made, or rather a knas, the rabbis made against a gazlan in favor of a nigzla, person who was stolen from. Generally speaking, we say, according to the Torah, if there are witnesses that testify what a guy steals, he has to pay. He has to pay whatever the witnesses say. If there are two witnesses, we see you stole a tape recorder, you have to pay for the tape recorder. And let's say I go to you and say, you stole my tape recorder. The guy says, I didn't. And that's it. That's the end of the game. Well, if the guy says you stole $100, he says, well, I stole 50, but I don't think the other 50. Then the Torah says you have to make an oath. There are certain cases where Chacham say, listen, you know, the robber should make an oath and then he doesn't have to take. But it's very rare to have a case where the guy who makes the claim is allowed to make an oath and he's allowed to keep things, right? This is that's unusual that a guy, a claimant can make an oath and get is very rare. The Torah doesn't even have such a case. And even the rabbis, it's not unusual case. But here we have one of the incidents that it's so. Halach Aleph, Knas Konsu Chachomim Lagazlonim. The Chachomim, the rabbis, made a fine, a penalty to Gazlonim. Shia Nigzal Nishba Al Koma Shi'itan Venotel Min Hagazlon. That the guy who was stolen from can make an oath, and whatever he claims, he can take from the Gazlon. Now that is a punishment against the Gazlon. Now, how do we do that? It has to be a certain type of scenario. For who? And the scenario is, she is a muhsach shegazolo bishneidim. We have to know from two witnesses, we know he stole, but the witnesses don't know what he stole. Okay? In other words, it's a case where there are two witnesses. There are two witnesses clearly indicating that a theft has occurred. They know a theft has occurred, but they don't know what the theft was. And there's no way we can believe the guy who took it because he's going, well, I'll swear that I only took one little thing. No. We can't believe you because you're a gazlan. Right. How do you know I'm a gazlan? Because two witnesses saw you took something. What did I take? They don't know, but they know you took something.
We took that case before.
Yeah, we had the Baikineva. Exactly. It's coming up again. So, but the guy who was stolen from, He's fully believable. Right. And that's the knas against the gazan, that we never say the guy making a claim can make an oath. Except here, the guy making a claim can make an oath. Let's see, halacha beis gives us a number of for instances. Ketzad, how is this implied? What is the case? Now, this is what Adim testify to. Let's say he goes in the guy's house to take a collateral, which you're not allowed to do. He goes in, and there are Adim who saw all of this. They saw him go in the house. And they see he goes in the house, and he has a jacket, looks very pressed up against his body. There's nothing in his jacket. It looks very fine. Okay, v'yatz, and the witnesses see, they don't know what went on inside, but they know the guy walked in. They were outside the guy's house. They see this guy walking in with a nice suit, nothing bulging, going right in. Then what happens? It's still there. The guy goes out. V'yatz goes out. V'kelim utomot ha'askanov. And they could tell there are utensils under his garment, because they see a giant bulge coming out. V'lo yadu ha'edim, the Edim don't know what it is, but they know he took something out of this guy's house. U'ba'abayis oimer, now the owner says, Kach v'kach gezaltani, such and such this guy stole from me. So now, bein shomer gazlin, we don't care what the gazlin says over here. Let's say he says, me olam lo nichnasti v'lo natal tikum. I never win, I deny the whole thing. Doesn't matter if he said that, which clearly wouldn't listen to him, because he's lying to two Edim. Bein shomer, whether he said something that's a little bit more believable, he says, nichnasti l'mashken kamo shiro Edim. Yeah, I did go in to take something like the Edim said, but I never took anything. They heard me say, I'm going to go in and take something from the guy. They had to hear it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I changed my mind. And you know what? I noticed something that was mine that was in his house. I remember, I lent you something years ago. You never gave back to me. So I'm just saying that was mine. Velo natalti. I'm sorry. Where am I now? I lost the place. Avalona talti, but I didn't take it. Vletachas kenafai, what was under my garment? Ella kalim shali, my own utensils that I had lent him at a previous time. So it comes out, there's no real contradiction, so to speak, to what he says, because that's what he's saying. Or let's say when I went in, I had these, or let's say even the guy argues and said, I had these items under my garment going in and going out. Doesn't matter. All these cases, one thing's for sure. They say the guy came in with nothing, is going in, and he said he was going to take something that he wasn't supposed to take. So we know that that's what the witness, so although, is it 100% sure that's what he came out with? It could be that he took one of his own things. It is possible. But that's the knas that we give to a potential gazlan where he makes his intentions known. So now, it doesn't matter what happens. Bein shomer, doesn't matter, he says, natalti kli zeh, I took this utensil. Ubalabayis toin shenatal kli zeh, zeh ukli acher. The guy says, yeah, okay, I did take one tape recorder. He says, no, you took two tape recorders. Right? That doesn't matter. Any of these cases, haray balabayis nishba benikitas chayvetz, the owner makes an oath by holding a holy object, like a Sefer Torah or something like that. Vinota kol ma sheiten, he could collect everything that he claims, because that once that guy goes in, he has the law of a gazlan, and that's the knas that we gave the guy. But this all has to be clear, that's we know why he came in. If he just walks in and then walks out, and we know why he walked in, then they can't make any claims at all. But they heard him say, I'm going to get in what I'm supposed to get. No, you're not allowed to do that. It's I'm going in anyway, I'm going to do that. So he's saying he's going to be a gazlan. So that's what they see, and they see he goes out with something. Well, that's already pretty circumstantial enough for us to believe what the Nigzal says. However, there is an important caveat in Halacha Gimel, and let's do that one caveat. But remembering, when do we see this? What if the guy says, you stole $7 billion in small bills from me, or rare coins, and that was the bulge? Well, that would depend. So when are we speaking? Bishaton Dvarm Shu Omud Bahem, when he makes a claim that we could estimate that it could be true. Or it's liable that other people will give him to watch. Let's say a guy is dirt poor. And the guy says, he took $1 million watch from me. He says, where do you have $1 million watch from? Oh, I had, then we're not going to believe such a claim. It has to be within reason. Or let's say you're a very honest person and rich people would have you watch things and he was stealing from you. Then we could say that. That he claims. When he makes such a claim, that's more valuable, right? So then we don't accept the claim. That's totally ridiculous. And so what happens? So what if the guy makes that claim? So then the defendant, the robber, can free himself of the claim. But then we say he makes a rabbinic oath that he did not take that item in question. And then he's out of that. Let's say the owner says, well, you're the Gazan, I'm going to take advantage. You stole $1 million ring from me. I said, then what do we do with that? We don't going to believe him. But something's going to happen. So then we tell the Gazan, okay, swear that you didn't take the ring.
Right.
And then we'll accept that. Now, finally, Vitan Bidvarim. Oh, so that's all. Let me read again because it's a long run-on sentence here. When is that? When he takes things that it's normal for him to take or people would give him to him. Vitan Bidvarim She'efshirin Tatlo. When he claims things that it's possible was taken from him. Tachas HaKadamayim, under the guy's clothes. Gosh Edim, as the Edim testify. But let's say, for example, the articles that the owner claims were too large to be carried under the owner's clothes. He took a washing machine under his jacket or something like that. Again, the owner is not given that prerogative, and he can't force anything like that, and the guy could just deny that he took it. We will give other cases of this similar situation tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach.